Hi everyone, I'm your host Tess from Spellbinding, and you're listening to Everyday Witch, a show that helps you discover and unlock the magic within. Hi everyone, today's guest is Royale Hart, who uses intuitive guidance, mediumship, and past life readings to help others gain guidance. And thank you so much for being on the podcast. If you could tell our listeners a little bit more about your journey to get to where you are now and what you do to help others.
Sure. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I'm really excited and a little nervous, so bear with me. So how did I get here? Well, that's a great question. I didn't start my spiritual journey until later in life. I was in my 30s. I was in the military for the first 12 years from like 18 to 30. And then I wasn't really involved in like spiritual practices or anything like that until I got to a really dark place in my life. I was not in a great place and I was about to lose everything. And it kind of just like hit me. I was like, I need to do something different. And that's when my intuition, I've always had it, but I've ignored it like most of us do. And it was when I was in like the deepest and darkest hole that my intuition told me, you need to go meditate. You need to listen. I was like, I've never meditated in my life. I don't know what this means. And I went to YouTube and I put on a meditation music and I meditated. And that was, I got calm. I got answers and clarity that very first instance. And that's when I was like, wow, this works. And I started my spiritual journey from there. Needless to say, I'm in a much better place now. It's been probably, I don't know, 8 years since that happened. And now I do my spiritual work full time and I meditate every day. And I'm here to try to help guide people the best way that I can by speaking to your guides, my guides, the universe, and providing you with what spirit needs you to hear, not always what you want to hear.
Yes, I love that because a lot of people just want to hear what they want to hear, and that's not how it works.
you would be amazed. And I didn't understand that in the very beginning. Like, people would get like legit mad at me and never come back. Or I've had a couple people like curse me out and say I was wrong. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so now I'm very upfront with, listen, if you want somebody that's just going to tell you what you want to hear, I am not your reader. Like, that's not how this works. And I think it's important for everyone to know, and everyone listening, make sure that you listen to your reader. Spirit is never going to just tell you whatever you want, because that doesn't help us. Because 95% of the time we're doing what we want and not doing what we should be doing to get on our best path. And so it's important that we understand that difference. So be open. You know, it comes from a place of love and non-judgment, but it's important that people hear what spirit needs to tell them.
What advice would you have for people who are just starting out and that happens to them, where people get like angry or mad or upset and are like, you don't know what you're talking about? Because that's happened to me before too. Like, what advice do you have for people in that situation?
Don't take it personal. And I know that's really hard for us as like readers to not take it personal, but don't take it personal. We, you know, and I think it's really important that we're doing this work and it to help other people. And we have like an ethical, I believe we have an ethical and a moral responsibility to do the right thing and to give that information, right? And it is their responsibility, your client, to take it how they want to take it. It is our responsibility to deliver it the way it's given to us, right? And so I think it's important, like, and we're all human. I'm a Pisces, so I'm super emotional, right? And so I still get my feelings hurt, but I'm like, this is not mine. I can't take this. And I've actually had a couple of those people come back years later and be like, you were right. That wasn't my soulmate. And now we're broken up. So I'm like, oh, you know, it's like, thank you for that validation. I hate that you had to go through that, but you will somehow, some way understand that what you're telling them, you will get your validation some way. And it might not be from that particular person, but it's just so important that you understand, like, we're doing this for positive, to help people in a positive way. And if they want to take it negatively, that's going to be up to that person, not for us to hold on to that energy.
And when you're telling people things that they don't want to hear, even if they're like, okay, hearing it, like, How do you deal with that? Because I know sometimes it can be hard if they're like, oh my God, like this is the love of my life. And then you're like, no, it's not. But like, how do you tell someone that, you know? Like, what advice do you have for that?
Yeah, I get that. So it really depends. So some like our guides, it's so funny because I'm like, listen, I'm sorry, this is from your guide. This is not Royale speaking. And I'll say, and I'll remind them, our guides do not care about our human emotions. They're very like, this is how it is, right? And so I'm like, the way I'm gonna say this might sound very harsh, but this is how I'm getting it. And I need you to understand, if I put my emotions in it, it can mess up that message. So I have to remove emotions out of it. And I'll say, this is not your person. And then you 99% of the time, I usually get why they're not their person. I'm like, this is not your person because emotionally you are more advanced than they are. They're very emotionally immature. And I'll give specific examples as to why this really isn't your person. And then they'll be like, that kind of makes sense. And then it gets their gears turning, right? So it's not just giving them, well, this isn't your person. It's following up with concrete, specific evidence from their guides as to why. And that sometimes will help them take the message better. If that makes sense, what I'm saying.
Yeah, that makes sense. Instead of just being like, this isn't your person and you need to move on, you're giving them like things to think about. So when it happens, they'll be like, okay, now I understand and I'm going to think about it. Totally.
Yes, because you know, as a light worker, you know, like a lot of it's like love. Like we deal with like love all the time. And when you're like, yeah, your baby daddy isn't like your soulmate. It's like, how dare you? I'm like, okay, you know. And so you get that negative feedback. You're like, I'm so sorry, but yeah, usually we can just follow up with some type of concrete information. They will, even if they don't agree with what you're saying in that moment, it's like a seed planted. They'll start paying attention.
Yeah. Can you talk about like what your first experiences as a mediumship were, or like what came in? Because I know everyone experiences it differently.
I was always told I was medium. And when I got on this spiritual journey, my now husband, he wasn't my husband back then. He was just my boyfriend. He was very spiritual. And that's kind of like how I was like, oh, okay, I need to meditate, do all these things. We started, and I feel like this happens to a lot of people. I don't know if it happened to you, but when I started my spiritual journey, I wanted to go to every metaphysical store. I wanted to go to every like class they had, every seance. Like I wanted to do it all. Like I was, searching for it. And so I went to I guess a medium circle, I guess is what you would call. I went and saw a medium and she did like, maybe there's like 10 people there. And I was told I was a medium. I was like, nah, I don't think so. And my grandmother, my dad's mother came through and I didn't have a close relationship with her. And I was like, the one person I didn't want to come through comes through for her. And so we left there and I was so irritated. And all of a sudden I just see her, like not with my eyes, but like I could see her in my head and I was like, what is this? Like, what? And then it kind of came out like in a vision form because I thought I was losing my mind and I kind of freaked out in the car and I was like, I think my grandmother's spirit's like following us because I see her and she's talking to me. And she did. She apologized for a bunch of stuff and said all these things. And I was like, that's crazy. So I was like, I'm gonna try. So I started meditating, asking my guides for, clarity. And I started just reading for my friends and family. And it's like anything, you just have to develop it. And it came pretty naturally to me, I have to say, and I'm thankful for that. But I also was doing a lot of meditation prior to that. But that was the first instance of a grandmother I wasn't close with, like chasing after me because I was so mad and she had to talk to me. And that's, I think, kind of like burst that bubble for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's cool. It's so funny. Whenever I have people on and they like tell like stories like that, it always gives me chills and I don't know why. It's just like so fascinating, you know?
Maybe you have a bit. Do you do any medium work? Have you tapped into that?
I haven't tapped into it, but I've been told like I need to, so
That's why you're getting your goosebumps. Your guys are trying to tell you.
yeah, I know. I need to like start really meditating every day, but it's just something that I haven't committed to doing every day. So I need to get better at like having an actual routine.
I understand. I really do. But it does work wonders. Everybody's like, I need to go spend $5,000 on this class to be taught. I'm like, no, you don't. You just need to meditate, really. That's it.
Yeah. Do you think that's your biggest tool that you use as meditation, or is there any other like spiritual practice or tool that you think really helps you?
Yeah, meditation, I would say, is my biggest tool, but I also will pull cards for myself because it's really hard to read for yourself. And sometimes you second guess the information you get. Like, even during meditation and talking to my guides, I'm like, did I really hear that right? And you do. And it's just the human nature of us. We're always like second guessing, which we shouldn't. So after a meditation, I'll journal and I'll pull cards. And 9 times out of 10, the cards are validating what I saw. I have oracle decks, I have tarot decks. So, it's whatever one I'm drawn to that day I'll use. But yeah. And then, I also feel like the biggest tool also is just reading for people. It's just like practice makes perfect, right? You just got to do it. Don't be afraid. Like, jump in there. And you're not going to start off great, but you will get better. You just got to trust it.
What would you say to people who are starting off and they're like afraid they're gonna mislead people or say the wrong thing or not be right?
That's a great question. That's why I feel like it's really important to start with friends. And for me personally, people I'm very close with, like my husband, I can't read him. I don't think we're supposed to read people like that. But choose friends that are going to be non-judgmental, that will give you honest feedback. And it's really you understanding that vibrational difference and what your thoughts are and what the information is coming through. And I always tell people cards, pendulums, the dowsing, I think they're called dowsing rods. Those are all tools. Your intuition should always take over anything that you get. If you pull a card that says one thing and your intuition is telling you something else, listen to that intuition. Don't be a card reader. Don't be a pendulum reader. Use that as a tool in conjunction with your intuition. So the best thing is practice with close people that will give you honest feedback, and you'll start understanding what is the information that you're receiving from spirit and what your thoughts are. And then once you can understand and distinguish that, that's when you can move forward in a better place.
That's great advice. I also think like reading for strangers sometimes is better because it shows you how much you actually know, where like it builds up your confidence. So even if you don't feel ready, sometimes it's better to just get out there and like do it.
Exactly. Yes.
Because a lot of times, like I know when I first started like reading tarot for strangers, I was like, I'm not ready for this. I don't think I can do this. And then I did it and I was like, oh, never mind, I actually know what I'm doing.
I think we all worry, and that's a good practitioner, though, that's worried about that, right? If you're not worried, then you need to take a step back and check ego, right? So it's so good. Yeah. And I think you're right. It probably is easier because you could be like, oh, yeah, I am right about this. So, yeah, that's a really good idea as well, for sure.
Yeah. You mentioned seeing like the shadow world in your story and everything. Can you explain to the listeners what that looks like for you?
Yeah. So, the shadow world, what I mean by that is seeing the good and the bad. I think a lot of us, and I did this in the beginning, I didn't want to see the negative. I didn't want to see the darkness. But in order, I feel that I have become a better reader because I've allowed myself to be open to both and see it. And what that means is like seeing people's true intentions. We don't ever want to think somebody has like bad intentions, but you would be surprised at what you can see. You also are looking at people's like motivations behind things, manipulation. If somebody truly has like the best intentions doing these things. And so seeing the shadow world, it's almost like when I see it, when I see the light, it's very clear. And when I look and I see the shadow side, it's literally like seeing something in the dark, but it's almost like a black and white movie, but more muted and it's more grainy. And so that's how I know that's the shadow side. If someone's like, oh, I guess an example would be like, oh, am I gonna get this job? And I'm like, are they wanting this job for the right reason, or is this the right job for them? And so when I see it on the dark side, it's like, oh no, they're going after it for the wrong reason. I'm like, well, you're going after this job for this, and this. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, you don't really want to do this. They're like, no. Okay, well, then you need to be looking towards what it is you really want to go after, right? So you can see like where the motivations are. But it also has helped me balance myself, and it makes me understand like what I'm looking to do and where I want to go, if it's good or bad for me. And I can look at that also in my meditations. Am I making sense?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is it like like when it shows up for you, how does it show up in your own life? Do you know what I mean? Like in regards,
Yeah.
do you see it like around yourself, or is it just like when you're doing something, you can realize like, oh, I'm doing this for the wrong thing?
It's a feeling that I get now. I know when I am on the right, if I'm doing the right thing or saying the right thing or moving the right direction, it's very clear in my crown chakra. And when I'm not, it's very much in my like base or sacral chakra, and it's the feeling is lower. So I know when it's higher that it's the best good thing for me. When it's lower, it's not a good thing. And I make my decisions really based off of where it is in my alignment.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for people who might be afraid, like if they're experiencing that, or like anything in general with mediumship, and they're like afraid of it, or they don't know what it is? Do you have any advice for them on like how to acknowledge it?
Yeah, for sure. So don't get me wrong, you know, there's a constant struggle between dark and light. And even a mediumship, I've seen like spirits come in. I'm like, oh, no, we're not going to do that. And I'll just shut it down. The one thing we have to remember, and I tell everybody this, darkness cannot exist where there is light. It's like walking into a dark room and turning the light on. And then, oh, you know, the dark is gone. We all have an inner light in us. Some of us are more, some of the light is more is extinguished in others more than some, right? If you just practice and your light is going to be right in the center of like your body, like right below your, you know, where your solar plexus chakra is, or right by your sternum. And you just want to focus on that light. And if you're ever scared, the thing that I tell people is go to that light, imagine it, grow it, push it out. But you have to understand that you're also in power, right? You have power and control over you and what you are willing to allow and what you're not. And the number one thing is ask. If you see a spirit and you're like, what are you doing here? They'll tell you. Like, if you can see them, they'll let you know, like, what's going on, right? You can't be afraid of hearing the message. You can't be afraid of what they have to say. Like, you're in power of your space, and you have to take that control. So I think it's important that people know, like, you're in power of it. And really focus on that light. And then you just want to project that light coming out and surrounding you, and you're protected. We're very protected. Our guides are there. Our angels are there. Don't ever be afraid. Don't let fear stop you from understanding things further and deeper on a spiritual level.
And then, like, I know that it's always good to cleanse yourself after doing anything for anyone else. Do you have any tips on that? And I'm sure, like, especially as a medium, like, it's good to protect yourself against anything, and then make sure that you like cleanse the energy after reading. Do you have like a specific ritual for that?
Yeah. So I always wear, and they can't see because it's a podcast, but you can see on my video, I have Onyx on, like it's my protective, and I wear one on my throat chakra and I wear one on my hand just to like wave my energy. So I do believe that we do need to protect our energy. And I do believe that anybody we come in contact with is our energy, right? We're going to share energy. So, I also smudge. I have my, it's right here. I actually, it's probably a little smoke in this room, but I smudge all the time, and I have like my own personal like bits of what I use in my smudge. And I probably smudge maybe 10 times a day, or I use incense or something. But I definitely feel like cleansing is very important, especially at the end of the day. What I do at the end of the day when I'm done with everything, besides the smudging and my onyx and everything I'm wearing, I look, and you'll see it's almost like an umbilical cord that's like see-through, that's transparent, and you'll see all these umbilical cords attached to you. That's energy that you've come into through the day. You want to cut those umbilical cords, right? At the end of the day, you want to cut it, and then you just want to put your light out. And I shower every night to also cleanse my energy. So I also think another thing that's really important that I do, because I live in the mountains and I live pretty rural, I have a creek that runs in front of my house. So I'll go put my feet in the creek, or I'll sit and ground myself on Mother Earth. That's another way you can cleanse yourself. But it's very important. You know, have you ever been driving down like the highway and all of a sudden you get really upset and you're like, why am I so mad? It's probably not you. It's probably the energy of the other driver, right? You need to protect yourself. So when you feel that, like, just put your light out and like cut the umbilical cord, and you'll feel better. So yeah, we are affected by people that we come in contact with. So it's important that you figure out what works for you. And there's many different ways to do that.
Yeah, it's Like, especially the environment, I think for people living like in a city or just constantly surrounded by people who might not be in a good headspace, it's so important to like find ways to ground yourself and find ways to like cleanse your energy
Oh yeah.
because it does like attach to you if you don't do that.
Yes, and I moved here from Tampa. So I came from a huge city. My husband's from this area, and we actually came up during COVID. We had a little RV and we came up here because we could work remote, which we didn't have the opportunity prior. And I was like, gosh, it's so peaceful. And my readings were so much clearer and I didn't understand. And so when we went back to Tampa, I was like, anxiety was up. I got like depressed. And I was like, I don't think I can live here anymore after being there for 3 months. So that's why we moved here. I didn't understand the energy of how so many people around you in a city really cause so much anxiety and stress and not sleeping. And it really affected me. And so that's why we're here now. It really does affect you. It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's awesome that you can like be away from everyone and you have your own little space and everything.
It's so nice. We go into the city now. Like, we'll go grocery shopping. It's probably like 30 minutes away. And I'm like, oh my gosh, an hour max. I'm like, I need to get home. And we go to Florida often because our family's still there. And I'm like, 4 days max. And that's it. Like, I got to get back. It's crazy. But it's nuts how peaceful and grounded you become because you don't have all the like constant energies coming at you and the hustle and bustle and everybody like, having to get somewhere so quickly. It's very laid back here and it's just wonderful. So it does make a huge difference. And I wouldn't believe that if I didn't go through it, believe me. But anybody go get like an Airbnb in the mountains one day and you'd be like, it's so different. You'll notice it for sure.
Yeah. Do you think like nature has to do with that too? Because when you're in the city, it's like concrete,
Right.
everything. There's no like nature. And then when you go out there, it's like all nature, grass, like you said, having a creek and everything.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think people realize how important Mother Earth is, not just to us as like human beings, but to us spiritually. It does so much to calm us. And there's been like studies after studies, and I can't quote one right now, but they're out there because I've read them, how much being in nature affects you. And it's like, even like in Alaska when they don't have the sun, people go through depression because they don't have that vitamin. I think it's E and D that come from it, but it's also just how Mother Earth affects us, and it's huge. So if you live in a city, try to go to a park. It's quiet. Like try to go somewhere that has just grass around and trees, and you can just sit down and be still for 10 minutes a day. It can really ground you, and I feel like it can really impact you in a positive way, especially mentally and emotionally.
Yeah. Okay, the last question I ask everyone is, what does magic mean to you?
That's a great question. I think, when I think of magic, the first thing I think of is like, oh, I can do something to get an instant reaction or make something instantly that I want, right? That's not the way I view magic. I feel like magic is something that we use with energy, our intentions, our manifestations that we can put into the universe and grow our desires. The difference that I think is that, yes, we can do that, right? There's energy, there's like candle work, there's spell work, there's all this stuff that you can do, but it's not instant. And I think people have to understand, at least that's my understanding and my belief is that you can make anything you want happen. As long, let me just say, as long as you're doing it for yourself and you're not infringing on other people's free will, like I'm gonna make this person fall in love with me and I'm gonna do this like spell work. It's like maybe instead of saying I'm gonna make this person fall in love with me, maybe you do spell work on I'm gonna allow the universe to bring me who is meant for me and who will love me wholeheartedly, right? As long as you're doing the correct thing, you can manifest and set your intentions and put that energy out there and it will come to you. But it's going to take time and you got to make sure you're doing the right thing. I personally don't believe in like messing with anyone's free will. Like, okay, if someone's sending you bad energy, I'm sending it back to you. Like, that's okay. But I feel like there should be a line between ethical and what's not, if that makes sense. But yeah, that's
Yeah,
my thought.
no. I agree with you. It's like the ethics of anything, you know, just like you were talking about with mediumship and reading for people. There's always should be ethics, I think, when it
Sure.
comes to like magic, spirituality, reading for people.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if people understood, so can sometimes putting energy into making a specific, I'll give an example, right? I had a client who was like, she wasn't coming to me, but she was going somewhere else. And she was doing these candles and this work to bring this guy back. He came back. Like, she pulled so much, he came back. But you know what happened? He left like 2 months later. She ended up being pregnant and she had a baby. He wanted nothing to do with it. And I'm like, it worked. He came back to you, girl, but it didn't end well, you know? So I think people have to be really careful of how they manipulate or will make or infringe on other people's free will. Because sure, you can, it could definitely work, but it's never going to end well. And I think that's important for people to know. Instead of asking for someone specific, ask the universe and your guides for the right person for you. Because once you have your right person, they're going to love you completely. They're going to be all about you, and you guys are going to grow and do well together. That's who you want. Maybe not this person, because that might not be your specific person.
Yeah, it's kind of like that saying, like, be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
Like, if you keep trying so hard, like you might regret it in the end.
Exactly. Yep.
Do you want to tell the listeners where they can find you or how they can work with you really quick?
Oh, sure. So again, my name is Royale Hart. That is my real name. I was born with it. I know people think it's a fake name, but it's not. My mom did a really good job. So my name is spelled Royale, and last name is Hart, like in your chest, Heart. So you can find me on my website, royalheart.com. You can find me on Instagram, royale.hart. I have the blue check mark, or you can find me on TikTok, royale_hart. I have 170 plus 1,000 followers. So please don't follow. I have a ton of fake pages everywhere. But that's where you can find me. I do live readings most evenings on TikTok. So come check me out. And thank you so much for having me. I hope we can chat again. This was great.
Yeah, thanks for being on, and I will put links for everything in the bio for this
Thank you.
episode. But thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. And I appreciate you. And your energy is amazing. And I wish you the best of luck with everything.